G'day, good evening, welcome to our final session in the Bible. We're not going to look at any one particular text for any detail of time, and so if you really want to hear it again, I'm recording it, and you can download it later on. You don't need to take notes, it's basically just a summary and a final encouragement from God's Word. Who's had a good day? Who's had a good day? Who's had a good week? No, who's really had a good week? Just checking. This week's been fantastic, and it's great to hear the many encouraging things from you guys and the way in which you've been challenged, the way in which you have been moved on in a pretty small period of time. It's really exciting to hear the way people have been encouraged and the way that God has been at work in you. And I guess you want to... it's good to stop and thank God, and we'll do that together tonight, and we are doing that together now. And even to thank God for His sovereignty in you coming here. That's all part of God's sovereign plan, was you to be here, was you to experience the things we've experienced, and was you to actually sit under His Word for the week. We've kind of looked at Ephesians, and we've kind of jumped all over the place a little bit too. And so I hope you've been encouraged as we've opened the Word of God. I hope you've been challenged as we've sat underneath what God has to say to us. And so what we've seen as we've looked at Ephesians is we've seen God's purposes and plans for every single one of us. And so we've seen that God's overarching purpose, His all-encompassing purpose for our lives, is what? That we glorify Jesus. And so let me remind you from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. And He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. And so we kicked off in the series looking at the idea of glorifying Jesus. God is at work bringing everything under the headship of Jesus. And so everything that we do, everything that you do from today onwards, is to be all for the praise and glory of Jesus, is to all be for the praise and honour of Jesus. And so as we've worked our way through Ephesians and as we've worked our way through this series, we've kind of seen a bunch of different ways that we can glorify Jesus. And so the first way we saw was that we glorify Jesus as we gather. So let me remind you from chapter 2 of what God has done for us in Jesus to gather us. Remember in Ephesians 2, 1-3, how we were dead. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts like the rest. We were by nature objects of wrath. And so we get this picture of we are enemies of God, we are dead to God, we are not a people, but, verse 4, but because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And so we get this picture of the way that God has gathered us together as a people. Jew and Gentile become this one new humanity in Jesus. We have been gathered together by, verse 13, chapter 2, by the blood of Christ. We've been gathered together because Jesus, verse 14, is our peace. We've been gathered together because, verse 16, God has reconciled us together to Him through the cross. And so God's purpose for us is that we gather. And so I encouraged you and challenged you and urged you that day to actually take gathering with God's people as seriously as Jesus has taken it. How seriously did Jesus take our gathering week by week as we meet in our local churches? Jesus died to make it happen. And so I want to remind you again, as you head off into the rest of your lives, you finish school, you're about to finish schoolies, the rest of life is about to begin, commit yourself, give yourself to gathering, to meeting together with God's people. The day after that, we looked at another way that we can glorify Jesus, and that is by growing, is by becoming more mature, is by growing up in Christ. And so we saw in chapter 4 and 5 a stack of ways that we were challenged to take off the old self and put on the new self. Check out chapter 4, verse 22. It says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new." Who is that? "Made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And I don't know if you remember that particular talk. That was quite a chunky one. I picked up a number of issues from chapters 4 and 5, and I think we dug fairly deeply, and in your small groups you dug even deeper as you tried to apply those scriptures to your lives. And can I just say, I was so encouraged. There was just one little thing. I said, look, hey, chapter 4, verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. I don't think it's as if the first half of school is sucked and, you know, we're always discouraging each other. But, you know, just with a little word and a little encouragement from the scriptures, I think the second half we're actually able to encourage each other more. And it was really encouraging to hear that and be part of that and be part of people asking questions. School isn't over yet. You've still got plenty more time to ask some questions if you want to do that as well. And so I was encouraged by the way you took seriously growing, even just here and now. But let me urge you and encourage you as you think about the rest of life to continue to give yourself to be made mature, to growing up in Jesus. And so we glorify Jesus in everything. We gather with Jesus and his people. We grow in godliness and in Christ-likeness. And then the next day we looked at give. And so the idea with give was that we are to give our whole lives in service of Jesus and in service of one another. And so who's our model for that? Jesus ultimately is our model for service. Jesus is the one who came and laid down his life for us. Jesus is the one who gathered us together. Jesus is the one who has served us supremely. And so we looked at in chapter 4 ways in which we are actually now part of this one body. We're one body, but with many different parts and many different gifts. And so the challenge from chapter 4, the first half of chapter 4, was how can we actually use the gifts God has given us to build the church? How can you, and every single one of you has been uniquely gifted by Jesus, how can you use those gifts to build up the church, to encourage each other to grow? After we looked at give, we looked at gospel and God's purposes for us in proclaiming the gospel. There's a sense in which the whole of Ephesians is jam-packed with the gospel, the good news of what Jesus has done in his death and resurrection to bring us from death to life. But we looked at particularly, for a little while, chapter 6 of Ephesians. And Paul says, pray for yourselves. But then he also says, verse 19, pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. And so Paul requests that they pray for him, that he would proclaim the gospel clearly. And so we need to be those who pray for ourselves and one another and our leaders amongst us. We need to be praying for each other that we would proclaim the gospel, that we would clearly proclaim Jesus to one another. And, I encourage you to think through the idea of how we're all actually evangelists of something, yeah? We all preach gospels of some description. We all talk about that which is important to us. If the gospel is really good news and it really matters to you, pray that God would give you the strength to proclaim it, that you could be part of God's mission in the world. And then yesterday, we kind of wrapped it all up. We glorified Jesus in everything as we gather, grow, give, share the gospel, and it's that big happy face underneath. It's that underarching, undergirding attitude of joy and delight. Let me read to you from chapter 5, verse 20. It says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always, in everything, the good and the bad, to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're to be those who, you know, joy, if you were to be squeezed, just permeates out, it oozes out. You know, joy is to be that thing that characterizes the Christian as we sing songs, as we pray prayers, as we meet with one another, as we go about everything in our lives, we're to be joyful and glad in Jesus. And so there's all the G's that we've looked at. There's God's purposes for us in Ephesians. And so I guess as we finish up now, I want to really urge you with the question and the answer that we've trying to been the question and the answer we've been trying to answer all week. And so what's the question been? It's kind of now what? You know, you've got the rest of your life ahead of you. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with your life? There's a question. What are you going to do with your life? You know, if you have any question ringing throughout your ears on the way home tomorrow, and in the weeks to follow, have that question ringing through your ears. Have that question, come before God with that question. What am I going to do with my life? And so what's the answer I've been challenging you to see is that with your life, don't waste it. Give it all over to Jesus. Ultimately, it's all about Jesus. Glorifying, growing, gathering, giving, gospeling, being joyful. All of those things are ultimately about Jesus. And so give your life to the things of Jesus. Now, this is a book called Don't Waste Your Life. There's not much at all that's really been borrowed from this book to this series until now. Don't Waste Your Life is number one on the list of books at the back. I reckon it's a brilliant read and a great read I reckon you should read even before Christmas. Get hold of it. It's by a man named John Piper. If you don't have any money, get someone to buy it for you. If you have an aversion to printed pages, you can get it free on the internet. You can download it as an ebook and all that type of gear. So you can easily get this one, desiringgod.org. In this book, John Piper actually talks about this thing he calls Christians that have the mindset of wartime living. Does that make sense? Wartime living. And so he encourages the reader to think through, what does wartime living look like? You know, he kind of goes back to wartime and, everyone is behind the effort of the war. You know, there's soldiers on the front line, then there's people on the next line, then there's people back here in the base camp, then there's people back home making bullets. You know, there's people back home sending packs to the soldiers. There's people back home doing jobs in place of the soldiers who are currently overseas. And there's this kind of, when a country is at war, like the World War I, World War II that we saw last century, everyone gets behind the effort, the wartime effort. And so what he encourages us to do is to stop thinking in a peacetime type of way. Life is not about kicking back on a cruiser. Life is not about just soaking up the sun and chilling out with my homies and just having no worries whatsoever. We're not chilling out on a cruiser. We're not kicking back on some luxury cruise liner. We're actually on a warship. We're actually preparing for battle. We're actually in battle. And so the Christian life is to be a life where we're constantly on board with the mission of Jesus. We're constantly on board with growing as a follower of Jesus. And so what I want to encourage you to do as you think about the big picture, as you think about not wasting your life, and as you think about that wartime living attitude, I want to urge you to have the big picture perspective of eternity. What do I mean by that? Let me quickly read to you from one of my favourite verses. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. One of the ways in which we'll actually see that the times we are living in are urgent and the times that we are living in require us to live sold out lives for Jesus is taking that step back, looking back to the cross, looking forward to Jesus' return and looking forward to what we are to be doing in this world. Check out 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Here's what it says. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly aware we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You know, you've got this perspective here of how you go on in the Christian life is you actually don't lose heart in the Christian life. You recognise that even though, you know, once you hit 17, it's all downhill after that. Every one of you has hit 17. It's all downhill. The text says outwardly we're wasting away. You know, you've kind of begun your progression of wasting away. Your rest of your life is all downhill from here. The reality for the Christian, though, is that as we get saggy, as we get flabby, as we get old, as we get weary, inwardly, God's doing this wonderful work in us. God's doing such a wonderful work in us that our troubles in this world are actually light and momentary compared to the glory that is to come. And so, brothers and sisters, I want to urge you to fix your eyes on the glory that is to come, on the things of Jesus, on the kingdom of Jesus, on eternal life with Jesus. And so in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, fix your eyes on Jesus. You know, fix your eyes on him, the author and perfecter of our faith. Fix your eyes on him, the one who was crucified on your behalf. And do not grow weary. Continue to press on. Continue to grow up in
Jesus.
You know, there's kind of an encouragement from the Bible, and I really want to urge you as you go home to actually read over Ephesians, read over any notes you've taken. If you feel the need, feel free to listen to any of the talks that might be helpful to listen to again. Share with people the way that you've been challenged and encouraged, and think through what are the ways. You know, there was three application questions every day, personal application. How does this impact the way I think, the way I feel, and the way I live? Actually think through the whole week. How have you been changed by God over this week? How have the scriptures encouraged you to do that? You know, we've had an unbelievable experience this week. I have, and I hope you have, and I know you have. And we've been able to impact people, I think. I think our bus, as it drove around, I don't know, how long did we drive for this afternoon? About 2 hours? A long time. As we drove around the countryside, man, they're like, those weird white people are singing really loud and crazy. That's awesome. You know, like, we've had an impact on people. I think we've had an impact on people in the hospital. That was profound, watching you guys at work in the hospital and praying boldly and going up to people. And I think that was an encouraging thing. I think we've been an encouragement as we've gone to church. I think we've been an incredible encouragement as we've gone to each of the schools that we've been to and little interactions that we've had with people. You guys have been an encouragement. But how much have we been encouraged? Yeah? How much have we been encouraged by this country that 171 years ago, if you had have rocked up wearing the name of Jesus, you would have been eaten? I've been talking to Reginald. He always, when someone hops on the bus, like some dumb white Aussie, they say, you people in Nanawatu, where's that? You people in Vanuatu are so happy, so joyful. And he says, it's from the Lord, it's from Jesus. You know, if Jesus did this, Jesus changed us. Before Jesus came here, I would have eaten you. And, you know, we're in a country that's been radically changed by the gospel. And I've tried to give you some little snippets along the way into the life of John G. Payton, who's one of the key people that God used in bringing the gospel to the New Hebrides. Praise God for him. Praise God for the work God did through him. Do you know what? I actually think the most encouraging thing for me after Vanuatu last year was, after Vanuatu, reading the autobiography of John G. Payton. And I think it was awesome reading it after I'd been to Vanuatu, after I'd met beautiful people who were radically changed by the gospel. And so I read a brief autobiography of John G. Payton's, but then I also I got hold of the book, which I've been quoting a few times. And I thought it'd be a really cool thing if you guys could have a read of the book too. I would love to say I bought the books for you, and I would have tried to, but I don't have much money. So I got some friends to buy some books for you, and your leader's about to come around right now and give you a book, which feel free to read it on the plane, or just wait till you get home. Here they come. Feel free to, there's a bit of a note in the front of them. Feel free to have a quick look at that right now, because I know you'll do it anyway. So, quick out of read. I've written in them, and your leaders have written in them too. Seriously, it's an incredible read. I cried numerous times when I read it. I don't know if Tim's cried yet. He's been reading it this week, but he said he's been moved a number of times. I thought it was actually cool. A few times during the week, a number of you came up and said, where can we get a copy of that book? And I said, oh, you can get it online, booko.com. Anyway, you got it. Okay, once you kind of had a bit of a flick, put it down just so I can kind of see. Yeah, read it. It's an incredible book. It's an incredible testimony of God's grace at work in this country. And let me urge you to keep praying for this country. I was talking to Reggie today. And, you know, Afate, the island we're currently on, is more and more being influenced by Western, you know, looking more like Australia, looking more like America, looking more like Western society. And so, you know, I think some of the other islands... people are probably more beautiful and like the gospel has been less tainted. And I personally think there's great dangers now in, you know, people wanting to be Western rather than Christian. And so we ought to read this and keep praying that God would continue to work in this country. But, you know, one of the remarkable things I've just spent, we've been in this country for 9 days, is just how quickly, like it didn't take 9 days, you can actually form a genuine love for one another. Yeah, like it's, you know, the day one, it's who's this weird guy I've got to sit next to on a plane. You know, day two, it's hey, I know his name now. I knew everyone's names first, so I just put it out there. But, you know, within the space of a few days, you can have a genuine warmth and affection, and I think a love, and I see that, and I feel that. I feel a genuine love and warmth and affection toward you, and have been... so privileged to be part of this trip again this year and to be able to encourage you from the Word. But I'll tell you what's a real encouragement to me is seeing the way in which you take seriously the Word of God and seeing the way in which you take seriously living it out and asking big questions and thinking through what it's going to look like in your life. And so I'm encouraged by that. So thank you very much. Thank you to us for that encouragement toward me. And so I have a deep love for you, and one of the things I love most about you is your love for Jesus and your desire to live for Jesus. And so I want to urge you and encourage you to keep doing that, to keep trusting Jesus. I'm going to commit to praying for each of you until my malaria tablets run out. So what I'm going to do, seriously, and you might want to do the same thing, is actually pray for each other every day when you take your malaria tablet. And so I'm going to commit to, I don't know, is it 30 days more or something like that? However many tablets are left, 30 more days. I'm going to commit to praying for you guys every day for the next 30 days. And then after that, I'm going to commit to praying for you guys every day for the next year. Not every day, every week, once a week for the next year. And so, and I'd love to hear how you're going, and it'd be cool if we can all catch up at some stage and whatnot. But we're going to do something special in a moment. Before we do something special, I kind of want to have one thing ringing out in your head. I kind of said the other night, I don't want to be known as, I don't want to be known, I don't know where I said it, but I don't want to be known as the crazy uncle. I want to be known as the uncle that encouraged my nieces and nephews to trust Jesus. I'm stoked. My 18-month-old son, when I say, who is the king? He says, Jesus. I reckon that's awesome. Like, he barely says any words, but he says, Jesus. I want to be the type of person that encourages everyone I know who is Christian to keep trusting Jesus. And so let me read to you from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. It's written in your books as well. And here's what it says. It says, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. Paul writes this letter to Timothy, and it's the last letter we have of Paul's. You know, he's getting close to death. You know, he's desperate as he encourages Timothy to encourage him to remember Christ, to keep trusting Jesus. And so, brothers and sisters, I want to urge you to keep trusting Jesus. Why do we have... There's so many times in the Bible where it talks about remembering and don't forgetting. It says that because we're prone to forget. You read the Old Testament, Israel forgot things all the time. You know, they forget the Lord who saved them. They forget the God who brought them from death to life. They forget about their God. And I think we, if we don't continue trusting Jesus, continue meeting together, we will also forget Jesus. So don't forget Jesus. Don't leave him on the corally shores of Vanuatu. No, pack him in your bag. Do more than just pack him in your bag. Have him living within you. Have him as the lips, as the words that come from your lips. Keep trusting Jesus. Keep your hope in him. Remember Jesus. One of the things that happens after camps is you get the, I don't know if you've been on a few camps, but you get the post-camp blues, you know, the PCB. You know, you're going to get that in a big way. You know, on Tuesday, you're probably going to cry and cry and cry. You know, one of the things that you need to make sure you do after camps and after post-camp blues is actually not forget the stuff you were taught, is not forget the God who has saved you. You know, maybe in 5 years' time, you don't have post-camp blues, you have post-uni blues, or you have post-something blues, or this blues, or that blues. You know, in the depths of pain and misery, you've got to remember Jesus. And you've got to continue to stick by Jesus, and continue to cling to him, and pray that God would continue to hold on to you. You know, one of the best ways, I think, that we can actually remember Jesus is with something that Jesus has given us. It's a visual symbol of the work that Jesus has done on our behalf. You know, on the night before Jesus was betrayed, Jesus sat down with his disciples, and as they sat at the time of the year called Passover. Passover was all about Israel remembering the God who had saved them from slavery in Egypt. It was remembering the powerful work that God had done to rescue them. You know what Jesus says on that night before he was crucified? He actually says, from now on, do this in remembrance of me. And so what we're going to do is we're going to, that meal that Passover represented is now represented by Jesus and his death and his resurrection, his body broken for us, his blood shed for us. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read to you from 1 Corinthians 11. And as I read, some juice is going to come around. It's got carver in it. No, it doesn't have carver in it. It's non-alcoholic juice and it's coming around. What I want you to do, just sit quietly. Some will be poured for you. Just quickly pop your hand up if you don't have a cup and we might be able to get someone to run and get a cup. There's like a whole stack of cups there, guys. What are they?
Yeah,
okay. Cool. So I don't want you to drink it. Just take the juice as it comes around. And likewise. Let me read to you. So just listening carefully. This is from 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And so some bread's going to start coming around as well. And I want you to just tear it. There's three big buns, I think. Is there three there? If there's three, take a big chunk. We're not just in those little piddly bits of bread you might get at church. Big chunk. Big chunk of bread. It's coming around now, listening carefully. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Okay, and as you, you know, there's a whole bunch of things you can do while the bread's being passed around, while we're waiting for it, while you're waiting for juice, whatever. And I reckon it's a good time just to reflect. To stop and reflect upon God's great love for you shown in Jesus. Could I grab some bread, too? Reflect upon God's great love for you. You know, I prayed that prayer the other night, the sorry, thanks, please type of prayer. You know, in the quietness of your own heart, it's a good time to actually do that again and pray sorry to God for your sin that took Jesus to the cross. It's a good time again to say thank you to God for Jesus, whose body was broken, whose blood was shed. It's a good time likewise within your hearts and your minds to actually say, please God, help me to live a changed life. Please God, take my life. You know, there's nothing magical about the bread or the juice. There's nothing overly special about the bread and the juice, but there's a real sense in which as we eat it together, as we drink it together, there's a real sense in which we are sharing in Christ. There's a real sense in which Jesus is present among us by his Spirit as we share in this symbolic meal together. And so, brothers and sisters, I want you to take and eat this bread and remember that Christ's body was broken for you, and be thankful. It's cool how it's big. It means you get to reflect upon it for a while. And brothers and sisters, I want you to take this cup and drink this cup and remember that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful for it. How about we pray the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And let me close finally by praying one more time in response to both what we've just done now and what we've been doing all week as we've sat together underneath God's word. And that you pray with me and a big amen at the end. Our gracious Father, we want to come before you again as those who come only by the blood of Jesus. We can enter into the most holy of holy places through the body of Jesus broken for us. We thank you for the right standing that we now have before you. And Father, we thank you again that it has nothing to do with what we do, but it's all about what Jesus has done. And so, Father, we praise you. And Father, again, as we gather now, we confess to you our sin. and the ways in which we've rebelled against you, and Father, the ways in which we've failed to live to glorify Jesus. And Father, we want to thank you again for Jesus. We want to thank you for the new life that we have in him. We want to thank you for the forgiveness of sins that we have in him. We want to thank you for the adoption that we have as your children. We want to thank you that through the death of our brother Jesus, we can call you Dad. And Father, we pray that you would help us to always be those who are overflowing with thanksgiving for every spiritual blessing that you have given us in Christ Jesus. And so, Father, we please pray again that you would so work in us that we would trust Jesus, that we would remember Jesus, that we would not forget Jesus. And Father, we pray that you'd help us to live while we wait for Jesus in eager expectation. Father, that we would glorify Jesus in everything. Father, that we would not give up meeting together, but continue to gather with Jesus and his people. Father, we pray that you would keep working in us by your Spirit to grow us, to take off the old self and put on the new self, that we would grow in Jesus, to be like Jesus. And Father, we pray that we would give like Jesus. We pray that we would give ourselves to ministry and to service. Father, please, we pray as we leave school is that you would help us to serve wherever we can. And in the process, we ask that you'd help us to discover the ways that you have uniquely gifted us. And Father, we pray that you would help us to be those who preach that which matters most. Father, we thank you for the gospel, that it is good news. We thank you that Jesus died in our place for our sins. And Father, we thank you that all nations need to hear of that news. Father, we thank you for the way in which we've been able to get insights into the story of the gospel coming to the New Hebrides. And Father, we thank you that we can now stand shoulder to shoulder with our brothers and our sisters in this country who call on the name of Jesus because of the great work that you have done over the last 170 years. Father, we praise you that you are so good and that your gospel is so great. And Father, we pray that we would be those who continue to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Father, that you would use us in our suburbs, in our universities, in our workplaces. Father, we pray that you'd use us all across Australia. We pray that you'd use us all across the world. Father, please use us as you will. And Father, finally, we pray that you'd help us to be those who are joyful. Please give us a joy and a gladness and a delight in Jesus, regardless of circumstances. Father, when times are good, help us not to forget you, but to praise you with all our might. And when times are hard, we pray that you would develop character in us, that you would develop perseverance in us, and that we would be those who hope all the more for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We pray that we would not forget him. We pray that you'd enable us to remember him. And Father, I pray for these guys that you would so work in them that in 5 weeks' time, 5 months' time, 5 years' time, 50 years' time, and on into eternity, each and every single one of them will continue to bow their knee to King Jesus and continue to give their whole life to Jesus. Father, we pray that you'd help us not to waste our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.
Amen.